Amen. Good morning to you. Man, it is cold, isn't it? I feel like we've moved to Siberia or something, you know. Like 10 days ago, it was 75 degrees, and this morning it was 16 at my house. And I took my little dog out about 5:30 and on a leash, and there were leaves blowing everywhere, and he did not want to, do anything except chase leaves. And oh my goodness, it was frustrating. But all is good. It'll be spring before maybe not before we know it, but it will be spring again if the Lord tarries. Don't you just love this week? I love this week for a number of reasons, but it's just the anticipation of having family and friends around a table. And just enjoying that together. You know, I found out something that was really interesting this past week. Did you know that Butterball has a website and an 800 number that you can call for help with your Thanksgiving dinner? And in my research, I found some actual correspondence that they had had with some cooks. And I thought I'd share a few of those with you here this morning in celebration of Thanksgiving. There was a woman who was 73 years old that called the helpline asking for cooking instructions about how to cook the turkey and for help with Thanksgiving dinner because her mother had told her it was finally time for her to learn to cook Thanksgiving dinner. I am so glad that Arlene is cooking our Thanksgiving dinner. There was another one, a proud gentleman called, and he told the staff that he had wrapped his turkey in a towel and laid it on the floor and stomped on it up and down so that it would fit in his pan. And he wanted to know, can I still cook it? And of course the response was, you can try. One of my favorites, there was actually a fellow that called, a gentleman called, and he told the operator that he had used a chainsaw to cut his turkey in half. And he wanted to know if the oil from the chainsaw would adversely affect the meat. These are all true. Okay, these are all true. There was a woman called, and she was disappointed, and she wanted her money back because her turkey did not have any breast. And after a few minutes on the line with Butterball, they determined that she had it upside down in the pan. One mom called and told the helpline operator how her little girl had asked if they could slow roast the turkey for 3 or 4 days because she loved the way it made the house smell. And the lady told her, said, no, you really just need to cook it for a few hours. I wouldn't do that. And they said the little girl was so very disappointed. Here you go. This is my favorite. After discovering a turkey from 1965 in his freezer, a man called the talk line and asked about the best way to cook a 50-some-year-old turkey. And the suggestion was from the lady was to throw that one out and go get a new one at the grocery store. And here's another one. When a talk line staffer asked a caller, what state is your turkey in, meaning how thawed was it? The woman responded, well, it's in Florida. So I don't know about you, but I kind of wish I was in Florida too, don't you? You know what, folks? I absolutely love Thanksgiving. And, you know, every year I kind of have the same feeling. You know, why can't I produce this kind of mindset all the time? Because it seems like that at Thanksgiving, we are able to get in a place where things don't bother us quite as much. I found this phrase in the book of Ephesians where Paul says, and it's just this phrase. He said, I've I've not stopped giving thanks. I've not stopped giving thanks. Matter of fact, if you read the book of Ephesians, he says an awful lot about how he's in this state of thanksgiving. Thankful for people, and he mentions some people by name. Thankful for God and how God has led him and cared for him. Thankful for the opportunity to share the message of grace and mercy for so many. That Paul was able to rise above all the challenges of life and be thankful for people, thankful for God, thankful for his leading, thankful for his direction in life, without being struck in a way that takes him down into a different frame of mind. I think that what Paul is saying here is that I have the ability to be thankful all the time. And I don't know about you, but I can't say that about myself. I'm not thankful all the time. You know, and as I thought about this and as I researched and I read a lot of stories in the Bible, and I kept going back to different episodes in the life of David. You know, and how we have so much in common with David. You ever notice this phrase? You see it in your Bible a lot. You know, that this is a Psalm of David. You know, he wrote most of them. And most of them are simply about times in his life when he recognized how great God was and how feeble sometimes his faith is. And even though he is recognized as this person that is a lot like God, he's also a lot like us. Because he rides this roller coaster of life going in and out of thanksgiving. I want to encourage you this morning and tell you that there's a way that you can look at life and you can always be thankful. Matter of fact, I'm convinced that God helped me with my sermon this morning. Did you watch the game between UT last night and South Carolina? Some of you have avoided eye contact with me this morning. Because you were afraid of the state. Excuse me, I got a bug in my throat. Afraid of the state that I was going to be in. I could actually show you on my phone. I got three texts from people in the third quarter, and all three of them said the exact same thing. Three words: are you all right? And I just want to tell you this morning that I am all right. You know, we got shellacked last night, and somebody asked me, said, you know, Pastor, how'd you get over that? I said, well, you know, you just realized two things. Number one, Jesus still loves me. Number two, you know, Arlene's going to give me a kiss good night and a kiss good morning. And things are okay. You know, that was the thing about David. David didn't let the opposition of his son fighting against him. David didn't let the pursuit of other nations trying to kill him, overthrow him. David didn't let the giants that stood in front of him to make him back down and run in fear. David had this tremendous ability to rise above the circumstances of life and still be thankful. So I think when you read that, a Psalm of David, think about who he was and what he did. I love Psalm 100. Matter of fact, I don't know if you've done this or not, but you need to go outside the door here to the right and look at the table that Sherry Buck has put together just for today. Sherry always, she gets ideas about my sermons. I let her know what I'm going to be preaching, and she themes that table to the sermons that we're doing here. Now, most of the time, it's a series of things over a period of several weeks. Today, it's just today. And she has depicted out there for you in a beautiful way Psalm 100. Take a look at it. Let me read it to you. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Personally, this is my favorite psalm. Only five verses, but so packed with understanding. Now let me divide these five verses with verse 1 through 3 and verses 4 and 5. And if you look at 1 through 3, let's look at it again. He says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. If you divide this psalm into these two ways of understanding, the first thing here is that he gives us something that we need to realize. Something that we need to realize. And what is that? That we live an existence where we need to shout for joy all the earth. That we need to worship the Lord with gladness. That we need to come before him with joyful songs. We need to know that the Lord is God. It's he that made us. And we are his, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Here's the thing. Do you realize those things? Because I think the realization of that understanding will give us an idea to know what we should be able to do and how we should be able to rise above the circumstances of life. And even though life can be difficult, even though life can be hard, we can worship the Lord. We can have gladness. We can sing songs, not just the words of songs, but we can sing joyful songs. You know that the Lord is good, he says. He's made us. We're his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, we should realize these things. Do we realize them? You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with my grandson the other day, and I'm sure you have the same kind of conversations. I said to him, I said, Jack, what is it that you want for Christmas? And you know what? I could see him all of a sudden. He was like, oh my goodness, Pappy is asking me what I want for Christmas. I saw this seriousness get on his face, and all of a sudden he just stopped what he was doing, and he came over and he sat down on the couch with me, and he said, here, Pappy, I'll tell you what I want for Christmas. And you could just see his little mind go, and you could just see that. And he said, I think he was trying to get beyond just something to get into the point where he could communicate that he wanted a lot. So here, this was his answer. He didn't say one thing. He said, Pappy, what I want is Batman stuff. Do you know if you type Batman stuff into Amazon, it's amazing what comes up? You see, folks, what I think David is saying here is that we need to realize who God is. We need to realize what God does for us, what he's able to, what he's willing to do, what he has done, what he's shown us, what he's made, how he's made us, that we're his shepherd. That's what Psalm 100 is all about. So when we realize these things, then I think we can go to the second thing that he tells us here that we should understand, is that we have something to realize who God is, but also something that we can do. And that's actually found in verse 4 and 5. He says, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Folks, as we gather around the Thanksgiving table this year, let's realize something, who God is, how much He cares about us. And then let's make sure that we do something with that realization, and that we enter His gates with thanksgiving, that we enter His courts with praise. We give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Arlene, a few years ago, did something really interesting at our home at Thanksgiving. It was one of those times where we had our family, we had her family, we had her sister, we had her sister's children, all adults. We had our kids, our son-in-laws, our grandchildren. We were all around a Thanksgiving table that we had extended out from our dining room out into our living room, and we were all seated around this table. And Arlene came and announced to everyone that was there, much to the consternation of some, she said, absolutely no cell phones at this table. None of them. And she passed a basket, put it in here. And you know what? It was difficult for me. It was excruciating for the young adults there, for our girls and for Linda's children, Arlene and our nieces and nephews. I mean, it was amazing. And you know what I noticed? I noticed that at the beginning, it was like, oh my gosh, what is she doing? She can't do that. She doesn't have the power to do that. Why doesn't John speak up and say something? You know, this went on and on. But then after a few minutes, you could tell that people started doing something else. And I think the word here for us is that we need to realize something, and then we need to do something else. And the something else is that real thanksgiving doesn't have to be dependent on the circumstances of life. It doesn't have to be dependent on health. It doesn't have to be dependent on economics. It doesn't have to depend on any kind of national issue or political issue. It doesn't depend on any of that. All it depends on is our understanding of our need to do it. Are we there? You know, can we understand the thinking of the Apostle Paul when he says, I've not stopped giving thanks, even though he's imprisoned? Can we understand the mentality of David when David can say, you know what, regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of my enemies, regardless of the giants that I'm facing, that a real Psalm of David is understanding that those problems are real and big, but my God is bigger. And that I can sit around this table, and Thanksgiving doesn't have to be a momentary kind of mental exercise on a Thursday in late November. But I can truly be thankful anytime, anywhere, in life. You know, just go to Psalm 100 and think about it. You know what? Here's something I need to realize. Here's something that I need to do. You know, Paul even says this in a great way in Ephesians chapter 5. If you look at verse 15, I've got it for you here. He says, be very careful. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my brother, Jeff, passed away. It's been about 10 years ago now. He was only 55 years old. He contracted lung cancer, even though he'd never smoked one cigarette a day in his life. There were a number of times that I went down to visit him before he passed away. And I remember one particular conversation that he and I had. His TV had gone on the blink and broke. And I got a TV and I took it down to him. He couldn't go out and shop anymore or anything. So I took him a TV down, and that particular day, I think that gift had heightened his strength, and he got out of bed and he came in the living room, and we set the TV up and we sat down and we started watching it. And then at one point, I'm not sure what caused him to do this, and if he hadn't encouraged me to share this message, I probably wouldn't tell you it now, but he said to me, he said, "You know, John, life becomes so different when you do the things that God wants you to do." And I said to him, I said, "Jeff, what are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, I spent so much of my life thinking about drinking." He had a drinking problem for a long time, since he had been a young man, really, and it really cost him a lot in life. But at this particular point in his life, he had given that up. He had really kicked it, and he had a much better frame of mind on the past and on the present and on the future. And in that moment in time, my sweet brother, who didn't live too much longer after this, said, "You know what? When you give that up, and all of a sudden you see life," and this was his words, "when you see life for the tremendous blessing that it is." And it was amazing how what he was saying to me is how you can enjoy the things that you avoided when you were chasing the wrong thing. You see, I think that's exactly what Paul is saying here. He says, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. You know, how much of our life have we lived being unwise? He says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. How much of your life have you lived unwise? How much of your life have you lived foolishly? Then he says, and this is when I think about my brother, he says, don't get drunk on wine. Leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I think that's what my brother Jeff was trying to say to me. That a life lived in the Spirit of God is the way to live. Because when you're looking at life that way, he says you can sing psalms. You can sing hymns. You can sing from the Spirit. You can sing and make music in your heart to God. In other words, you can sing the songs, and the music is your spirit. The music is your heart. And then he ends by saying, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. You know, that conversation with my brother was ended with a prayer. A prayer of thanksgiving. Really, for what he had realized and what he was now doing. And you know what? That's my hope for you and for me this holiday season. Just two things. Number one, I hope you don't have to call the Butterball Hotline. But number two, I hope that you are thankful, that you are full of thanksgiving as you sit around the table with your loved ones and friends. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this good day that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for the life that we have in you. And God, I pray that we could move from that place of occasional thanksgiving to a time of eternal and constant. As the Apostle Paul says in his book, that he was always giving thanks, that he's never stopped giving thanks for people, for circumstances, for you. So God, I pray that that would be a place that we live, that we would be so full of thanksgiving and gratitude, that it would invade our lives every day. So Father, as your people today, I pray that we would proclaim that thanksgiving to the world, to creation, to ourselves and our families, and to everyone around us. Lord, may they see something different in us, and may it be truly a spirit of thanksgiving that invades every part of our life, every moment of every day, that is not something that comes and goes, but Lord, that it's who we are, that we truly are a thankful people. As David says, Lord, that we enter your gates with thanksgiving. Father, may it be so for all of us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.